If you want some, come get some.
This is such good sh-.
I am the visionary. I am a revolutionary. I am Seth.
You can crack me. I can't give the stuff to Destiny, but I can give it to my mama. I can give it to my mommy.
Acknowledge me.
Lately, he just hasn't been.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wrestling with Ryan Hernandez. My name is Mike Andrade. Ryan, what's going on, man?
Work, school, all that good stuff.
Ryan, you sound very muffled. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm free.
I'm okay. Good.
There you go.
I'm good. Sorry. I have my AirPods in.
Yeah. Well, we are coming off a hot edition of WWE Wrestling last night, PLE Bad Blood. Ryan, what did you think of Bad Blood?
You know, I thought Bad Blood was very, very good. Yeah, I know. I was very hyped up for it, and you know I was, because I told you, I was like, oh, no spoilers, because I had to go to work, so I couldn't watch it live.
And then I kept messing with him until the John Cena came out and fought Goldberg.
Stop teasing me like that. But no, anyways, I thought it was good, especially the opening match, the Hell in a Cell between Punk and Drew, and then the main event, the tag match.
Exactly. We're going to get into this, but let's quickly talk about the rest of the Vince McMahon documentary, if you guys haven't seen it already, which you should, because you're not living under a rock. But
maybe they are, Mike. Who knows?
Maybe so. But let's pick back up on the Vince McMahon documentary. What'd you think of the Owen stuff?
Yeah, I thought the Owen stuff was very interesting, you know, and then hearing other like perspectives of that night and like how it happened. And there's even the stories of like how Owen just felt kind of off. He kind of felt like, you know, something was up. And then even Brett said when he was on his plane, he said he felt like something was up.
Yeah. It's just very sad, you know. It just brings up just emotions of just sadness of how everything was handled that night. First and foremost, the show should have been stopped, in my opinion. The show should not have went on. I don't know how they did it. I really don't know. I mean, if that happened today, obviously the show would be stopped. It would be, you know, there would not be any action going on for the rest of the night. It's a crime scene. I mean, literally, it was a crime scene. Like, you know, just because we know now nothing happened, but you don't know that, you know, when things happen. And so a man just, you know, fell to his death in that ring. You cannot, anybody in the right mind has to know that the show could not have went on. And Vince McMahon did the wrong thing there. You know?
Yeah.
It does come first, but not like that.
Yeah. That was a bit. I know that was like the big, like, you know, talking point of like, oh, should the show have gone on or shouldn't it have been stopped? And like, as you know, it is show business, and they always say the show must go on. But I do agree with you in that sense. It's like someone just died in the ring. Like,
right.
It's a valid reason to stop the show. The fans will understand.
Right.
You know, once they get more information and they know what happened, they'll be like, oh, okay, you know what, I understand why they stopped the show.
Right, exactly. And so going forward into that, and then you go on to we have the Attitude Era, and then that's when Vince starts bringing in his family with Shane and Stephanie. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you know, very interesting to see how he's like, for all these years prior to the Attitude Era, he, you know, did it mostly himself. He didn't want like his kids or even his wife seen on, you know, television. And then at the start of the Attitude Era and throughout, that's when we start seeing the McMahon family, and, you know, it's just when things really like take off. There are a lot of interesting stories and all that good stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's a lot of weird dynamics that are brought up, you know, especially as time evolves into the Attitude Era and then to the Ruthless Aggression Era. You know, you have the whole dynamics with Shane, and I thought it was really well produced in that area. You know, they really showed the father son dynamic, you know, of Shane really wanting to be in Vince's footsteps and Shane idolizing Vince just the way Vince idolized his own father. And so Vince, you know, wanting to get the just be in the presence of his dad, but also hear from his dad that he was proud. And the same thing goes for Shane. Shane just wanted Vince to tell him that he was proud of him. And then he really didn't get that till all these years later. And so you have that dynamic, and then you bring in Stephanie. And then, you know, Stephanie really wasn't supposed to be a part of it, but man, was she ever a part of it now? You know, I think with bringing her in and then developing her into the storyline with Triple H, how that took off into real life, you know, aspects. And so bringing all that together, they talk about Shane not wanting Stephanie to date Triple H and being heavily against it. Well, look what happened. They got married. You
Yeah.
know? Yeah. And so who knows? Who knows how the business would look now if that never happened, you know?
Yeah, true. Like, I feel like that's where we started to see a shift in the dynamic of how WWE was presented and all when Stephanie and Shane got introduced, and even Linda, because we saw Linda involved in some of these storylines.
Exactly. You know, so some of the most pivotal stuff now that you're in, now what, 20 years later, we're still seeing the ramifications from, you know, just allowing that one simple aspect. Now Triple H and Stephanie are basically, well, Stephanie's not in charge anymore, but I fully believe one day she will be in, you know, in a position again. But yeah, going forward from that, and then all these years later, then you have the allegations. Crazy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, the allegations are just, that I know that was the talking point of the documentary. You know, that's why everybody was tuning in, because they wanted to, find out more. And then, when the allegations came to light, that's when Vince canceled the remaining of his interviews. And so everything that we heard was prior to the allegations becoming public. And, I feel like that's when we really started to see a shift, because everybody was like, "Oh, Vince will never retire. He's gonna do this till he's dead." And now it's like, "Whoa, is Vince gonna do the unthinkable? Is Vince gonna step down?"
No, definitely. It just, to me, all this, it took place in the matter of time that it did. It sh really took place, forcing Vince to step out, because otherwise, if none of this stuff ever happened, Vince would still be in charge. Vince never wanted to leave the seat of authority from in you know in position of chairman of WWE. You know, he never wanted to lose that power. And he would still be in the seat of creative. He would still be in the seat of chairman. If all things, you know, happened the way Vince wanted, he would still be there today. And it happened the way it happened. Not a day too soon. It should have happened years ago, really. Not the allegations, but like the removal of Vince. With the allegations, you had it was just nothing criminal yet. It was just basically allegations and stories coming out through the Wall Street Journal of different stuff from Vince's past. And that was why Vince was still able to be a part of WWE still. Eventually he did step down, but then was still creating control, creating a part of the creative team, or running the creative team. And then all this stuff coming forward, you know, later in that summer, Vince, you know, miraculously just retires. Vince was fed through all this stuff that all this stuff was going to be coming down. So that's why he, you know, just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, retired. And so having all that stuff, you know, come down on him, Vince never really wanted to retire. He just w wanted to save face, you know, from probably the discretion of other people, and kind of take a step back and just probably let all this stuff die out. And his whole plan was to come back, you know. Through that whole time period. Then you see Vince come back in 2023, you know, trying, and then they sell the company to TKO. that was really a pivotal point for the company because, you know, with all this stuff not happening, who knows if they wouldn't have even sold, you know?
And I know, like, go into the after the sale, they had like the board vote on like if they should let Vince back in, and it was unanimous. I think it was unanimously no, but he somehow still ended up back in a position of power. And the crazy thing is, Triple H was one of the people that said no.
No, definitely. And that's why Stephanie, she bounced out as soon as Vince came back into power. She was like, "See ya, I don't want to do anything anymore with this company if Vince is going to be at the helm."
Oh yeah. Okay, I know that came out as a shock. It's like, wait, is Stephanie McMahon stepping down?
That's crazy. It was crazy. But going forward into late 2023, the allegations turned into actual criminal investigations, and now you had a case where Vince McMahon had no choice to step down, but also it wasn't just his choice now. It was Ari Emanuel, the CEO of TKO, all these other guys, that basically told Vince, "You're fired," because Vince no longer was in a was at a point where he was just the number one guy, the number guy in charge. He could pretty much decide if he wants to come or leave or anything like that. He was at the discretion of all these other guys in TKO now, so he was basically fired from TKO at that point. They didn't say it like that, but he was.
Yeah, just the way they went about it, definitely like him being, really did his duties being fired, but they didn't want to make it seem that way, because they probably wanted to avoid like, a potential like Vince lawsuit against them for like wrongful termination and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, and so they made it seem or he just stepped down again or whatever the case was. But everyone knew that because of the allegations that were coming out, criminal investigations now, that it was in the best interest of the company for Vince to basically step down from his position. And now we have a case in point where Triple H is fully in charge of the company now. Then
And
you get like nights like tonight.
yeah, WWE has really been on a hot streak since, honestly, really since Triple H took full control, and it WWE seems like it's a whole new product now than even just like 2 years ago. Like it feels like it actually feels like we're watching like professional wrestling.
My gosh. And we could segue into Bad Blood now with that. It just for me, watching Bad Blood last night, it really just hit me that it is a new company now. It is a new era. It's everything that the WWE is heading towards, the direction that they're going in, is a new era. No longer are we stifled from the creative directive of Vince McMahon, where he just wanted to make it all about what his decisions were. Everyone has their input into what they want to see in their match and their creative. And you get like a Hell in a Cell match now that just from all points of view is just one of the best Hell in a Cell matches of all time.
Yeah, and it feels good because usually at this time, this is when the old Hell in a Cell pay-per-view would take place. But ever since Triple H took power, he's gotten rid of the gimmicky pay-per-views. I mean, you still have Money in the Bank, but Triple H was never a fan of like the gimmick pay-per-views. And I remember when they had Bad Blood, that was usually a tradition. You have a Hell in a Cell match and Bad Blood, and Hell in a Cell is supposed to end a rivalry, and that's what this was between Punk and McIntyre. And Boy, did they deliver. This was the best match of their trilogy.
Oh my gosh, for sure. Best match. I honestly, and I know AEW fans and New Japan Pro Wrestling fans are gonna jump all over this, but I'm gonna sit here and tell you right now that this was match of the year.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely match of the year. Like the spots were crazy. Like some of the things that we saw in this match are things I never thought I would see.
Yeah, or at least again in WWE.
Yeah,
I mean,
like
let's talk about the blading for a second here. Like, my gosh, I don't remember the last time I ever saw blading like that in WWE. Can you remember?
I think maybe the last time we saw was when John Cena was against JBL in that I Quit match.
Yeah, you're talking about a match that was close to 20 years ago.
Yeah, so it's been a long time, because usually over the last few years when we have seen Blaine, it's just been like, oh, just small little cuts that had some sense of realism. But this was no this, and we saw both Punk and McIntyre bleed. When's the last time we saw two wrestlers bleed in the same match? And the crazy thing is, Drew's blood was actually legitimate blood. That was his blood, and
Yeah.
he had to get 16 stitches to close the wound.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's insane. Then you saw Punk having the oxygen after the match. My gosh. Just the little aspects about this match, I mean, just really went a long, long way.
Yeah. And I know, because people have been criticizing Punk, like, oh, he's old, he's washed. Man, Punk has really been stepping it up, and he's
Yeah.
proven why he's called the best in the world.
Exactly. And all those fans that support the Young Bucks and Jack Perry, they could suck it because CM Punk, he's the man. That's
Yeah,
just a fanboy of CM Punk.
like that Hell in a Cell, man, was just like crazy from start to finish. It started off slow. But I did like it, because I feel like that's how Hell in a Cell should be. It starts off slow and slowly starts to get more and more like, crazy and chaotic. And that's what happened. I know a spot I found crazy was like when they both used the wrench and put it in their heads. I was just like, whoa, that
Right.
was insane. And then, the table spot, that was, oh man, that was such a great
That
spot.
was good. I thought it was a botch at first when they broke the table off of the legs off the table.
Oh yeah, but the fact that that's what the intention was, like, whoa, that was cool. And then Punk hitting Drew with the toolbox, I was not expecting that, and right to the head
Dude, that was a
too. Like,
banger of a shot. He got
I
him.
know,
That was a
like
good
when
one.
I first thought it, I was like, oh my God, like I was not expecting, that, especially because we don't usually see headshot. And then another crazy spot was the white noise to Punk on the steel steps, and then
Yeah.
Drew went for a claymore, Punk dodged, and he hit like the edge of it,
Oh my
the edge of his
God.
back. And when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, like
Oh my God, my back would have been broken at that point.
I know that was just I was just like, oh my God. But yeah, those two really went all out. And
See, I was a little disappointed that we didn't get thumbtacks out of the bag, and it was beats, but
but
I
it made
still
sense
added
with the
that.
story. Yeah,
Yeah,
it made
exactly.
sense with the story, because that's what this is all about. The bracelet that had AJ Lee's name and Larry's name on it, so it was
Exactly.
symbolic in the case of like, oh, it's telling the story of like something that meant a lot to Punk. And here Drew is just like kind of be like, oh, here we'll be like, F you. Here's all the beads. And
Exactly.
then yeah.
Yeah, man. Outstanding match. I mean, honestly, five stars, man. 5 stars to both these guys. And like I said before, and I know AEW and New Japan fans are gonna jump all over it, but this was match of the year. I mean, my gosh, these two guys went all out, and this is what pro wrestling is all about.
Yeah, and Punk lived up to his word, because he just recently said in an interview, he's like, I have to put on a classic, like I have to, and boy, did he ever. Him,
Exactly.
Andrew.
Exactly. All right. Then you have the Nia Jackson Bayley match. That was okay. They had a little situation at the end that kind of teased you for a bit. But in the end, Nia beats Bayley. What do you think about that match?
I definitely thought like that match was actually, pretty entertaining for what it was. And man, like, let me just say, Nia Jax has improved so much in the ring. Like, there are things she was doing that I never thought I'd see her do before. I didn't realize how strong Bayley was, but actually getting Nia up for like the Samoan drop and stuff like that. Like, I just thought, like, while it wasn't the best match on the card, I definitely thought it was an entertaining match between the two. So I do have to give kudos to both women for, giving it their all.
Exactly. So good one. And now we're gonna have a situation where Nia and gosh, I'm blanking on her name now.
Tiffany Stratton.
Yes, Tiffany Stratton. It's Tiffy time. That's what I tell myself when I see her on TV. I'm joking, guys. I'm joking. I'm joking. Now you have a situation where they're gonna start maybe building up a program between those two. But
Yeah,
also,
and it's curious to see, because Tiffany Stratton's been a heel in her young career, so the fact that we might see a baby face Tiffany Stratton for the first time is, pretty interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they make it work, and seeing how they develop the Tiffany Stratton character into being a baby face.
exactly. Yeah, I think she could be a hell of a baby face too.
She's very over with the crowd already, so that's gonna help her out a lot too.
Exactly. Then you move on to Damian Priest versus Finn Balor.
Yeah, Matt,
Very
yeah,
predictable.
that match was okay. But again, just Finn losing another big match. I really thought Finn needed this win more, because he's always on the receiving end of, like, losing feuds and all that. And I did think the match was like a bit disappointing. And then, like, when the Judgment Day came out, I was like, oh, here we go. The typical Judgment Day playbook of they're gonna come out and try to help their Judgment Day members win their matches.
Exactly. And so very predictable. And yeah, I'm kind of disappointed because I do like Finn Balor as a wrestler, and I wish that he wouldn't just be just labeled in the company as a jobber. That's essentially what he is, and it's kind of sad to see. But Damian Priest does get the victory
Yeah.
now, so it'll be interesting to see which direction they go with
Yeah.
Damian Priest.
But it's interesting to see, because you said Finn essentially a jobber. Well, look at Bayley. Bayley was essentially a jobber, and she got rewarded, and she's being pushed. So maybe that's the plan for Finn. Maybe Finn's going to get a push later on. And he did just recently sign an extension with the WWE.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't know where it's going to be though. I mean, I don't know where you could put Finn Balor in a program where he's going to be successful right now. The Intercontinental title is kind of booked with Bron Breakker and Jey Uso at the point. I just don't know. But then yeah, let's go on to the Liv and Rhea match. That was okay. That was pretty good.
There were some
Entertaining
fun,
stuff.
yeah. There were some fun, unique spots. The spot that really got me to pop a little bit and a little scared too was when Dom fell and he was being held only by the chain. I was just like, oh my God! And then seeing mommy whip him like a pinata with the kendo stick, that was fun.
Yeah,
And
that
then
was
we
very fun.
saw, and then we saw the return of Raquel Rodriguez, which I again, I called it. I told you, I was like, oh, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Raquel Rodriguez return. But the crowd just did not care for it. Like,
No, the crowd didn't pop, and that's unfortunate because Raquel Rodriguez was gone for so long, and the company has just been red hot, and she's kind of missed out on all the. It's kind of like the SpongeBob meme where Squidward is looking in, and they see you see SpongeBob and Patrick kind of running outside, and then you have Squidward inside looking out. That's Raquel Rodriguez, but because she's been out all this time, and not she hasn't really been a part of the company the last year, so and having her come back, it's kind of like, oh shit, yeah, you're right. That is work how hard you guys, you know? But
Yeah, and I think that ending was botched because it ended very
yeah,
awkwardly.
it did. It did. But Raquel Rodriguez looked good. So, you know, I'm glad she's well from her skin condition, or she's
Yeah.
getting better from that.
Yeah,
So.
and it'll be interesting to see if this eventually leads to a Raquel and Liv feud. And if the or if the Rhea and Liv feud is gonna continue with Raquel now being a part of it. So that'll be another interesting dynamic.
Exactly. All right. Then you have the main event, Cody
The one
Roman.
we've all been waiting for.
Yeah, exactly. Decent tag match. Very predictable during the match too, the way in which the wrestling was, you know, was held. And but everyone was just clamoring for the ending. Everyone kind of knew since the match was put in the main event spot, everyone was expecting and just waiting for the ending, really, to see who was going to come out. And two surprises.
Yes, we
See.
saw Mr. No Yeet himself, Jimmy. So that's the one that actually got me hyped. As soon as I was like, oh, it's Jimmy, it's Jimmy, it's Jimmy. So
Yep.
that one I did pop for because I miss Jimmy. I
Yeah.
did,
He's been
and so
gone
I.
since WrestleMania, so 6 months now, 7 months.
Yeah, because he was on the SmackDown after that's when he got kicked out, but then he was dealing with a legitimate injury. I've heard he was fine. They were just waiting for the perfect place to bring him back. I
And no,
thought last night was.
he didn't pass away like Rikishi, you know, insinuated on Instagram or Twitter.
Rikishi's been acting very weird. Like, and now he's upset that Jay's IC champion now. Like, bro, like seriously.
Yeah.
But anyways, it was good to see Jimmy back. And it looks like and he got a loud pop.
Oh, huge,
He got a
huge
loud
pop.
pop.
Especially when him
And
and Roman hugged.
yeah, you could tell that he was happy to be back. And it was very interesting because after the match where we do see Cody and Roman get the win, which to me I was a little shocked because I thought the Bloodline would win just to show like, oh, this new version of the Bloodline really is like the best version of the Bloodline. But
Yeah.
yeah, the ending was it was great. And then after the match we saw the Bloodline attack Cody, and then Jimmy's like, you gave him your word. And Roman's like, I said it was a one-time thing. And Jimmy's like, I'm with you. Whatever you want to do, I'm with you. And then Roman
Exactly.
taps Jimmy's like, let's go, and pretty much solidifying that Roman's a baby face.
Yeah.
They help each other. Roman then hands the WWE Championship to Cody Rhodes, essentially symbolizing like, all right, you know what? You're the champion now. Here, I give you my respect. And then the return everybody was waiting for.
So that was pretty cool because I was simultaneously watching the Dodger game. And Shohei Ohtani hit a home run to tie the game up at three. And then right as Shohei hit his home run, I was watching the game in the Dodger game in my room. And then I hear in the living room, it feels smell. Oh, it was so cool. So like two like back to back big moments. I'm like, oh shit. But the
Yeah.
final boss comes out, just stares at Roman, stares at the
And
bloodline.
he counts four fingers.
Yeah.
And then he does two fingers and does like the
The
thing across
throat slit.
the
Yep.
throat. So now it's making me wonder, like, is that a tease for War Games?
Might be. Might
And who
be.
knows? And it's like, because he did say he was coming back for Cody, but you got to think in The Rock's mind, like, what's he thinking? Like, whoa, Roman's teaming up with Cody, like the guy we've been having issues with for the last year.
Yep,
So
exactly.
it'll be curious to see like what The Rock feels about all this, and we'll see if he's going to be on SmackDown. But SmackDown's about to become very interesting again.
There will be. And then after the show, it wasn't even filmed by WWE cameras or anything. Maybe it was, maybe we'll see on SmackDown, but it was literally just fan footage. People were recording Cody Rhodes coming to his tour bus after the show, and then you see Kevin Owens and him having an argument. And then that leads to Kevin Owens attacking Cody Rhodes, basically turning heel. So.
That was crazy because I don't know if they've ever had a turn like that before.
No,
So
exactly.
that so it was very interesting because it's like, wow, it added a sense of realism. Like, oh my God, like even off the cam was you never know what's gonna happen.
Right, exactly. But yeah, all in all, I thought it was a great pay-per-view or PLE, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. I
And
think
yeah, WWE.
we both can agree that the Hell in a Cell match was match of the night.
Match of the night for sure. Definitely. And once again, The Rock steals CM Punk's
It was a
spotlight here. As much as things
yeah,
change,
it
all
definitely.
things still stay the same.
Yeah, I will say, Punk and Drew definitely the MVPs of the show.
Right.
Definitely, I definitely got throw Jimmy in there too because he was a nice surprise. I don't think we were expecting Jimmy. I think people were expecting the Rocks, but the fact that we got both of them in the same night was pretty cool. So yeah, so that was my match of the night, and those are like my MVPs. Another solid pay-per-view from top to bottom, especially the opener and the main event.
Exactly. But yeah, great week of wrestling. It'll be interesting to see what the storylines are going forward for Survivor Series now and Crown
Yeah.
Jewel. Quickly, Triple H did make an announcement that at Crown Jewel, it'll be the World Heavyweight Champion versus the WWE Champion. So presumably Gunther versus Cody. Man, I'm looking forward to that.
And then live versus night because it's for both the men and the women,
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
and the winner will be deemed the crown jewel champion.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful championship, but I don't know, having that announcement on that show kind of felt like you could have just saved this for Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, and they just really saved that for Goldberg. But we are running out of time. Ryan, it's always a pleasure, my
Yep,
man.
same. With you, I enjoy doing this with you, just being able to talk wrestling. I know we both, as long as we're both passionate about something we both love. So,
Exactly. A lot of stuff on the horizon.
yeah.
A lot of stuff. We're going to be having more reports. Dodgers, UCLA Bruins, of course, Let's Go Lakers podcast. You're listening to this Wrestling with Ryan Hernandez podcast. So there's a lot of stuff. And then the Clippers thing, the Clippers Cursed episode 3 drops Friday night. So be prepared for that. Yeah, guys, a lot of exciting stuff on the horizon. Quick thoughts, Ryan?
Yeah, overall, I just thought Bad Blood was a great show. The Atlanta crowd was hot.
It was hot.
And then just a quick, just really quick preview to Raw. We're going to see two championship matches. We're going to see Jey Uso defend the Intercontinental Championship against Xavier Woods of the New Day. And then we're going to see Gunther versus Sami Zayn for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yep. All right, guys. We're all out of time, but until next time, we'll see you later.
Later.
Later.